What's happening, people? And thank you for listening to the Three Shots of Tequila podcast. This podcast is out every single Friday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and wherever else you stream your podcasts. It's also out on YouTube on Tuesdays at 7:30. If you are listening on Spotify, partake in the polls, leave a comment. We've also got an additional episode which comes out every single Wednesday where we read out your comments on Spotify. So if you do want to leave a comment and you want it to be read out, you have until the following Tuesday at 6 p.m. So the podcast drops on Friday. You have until the following Tuesday at 6 p.m. to leave your comments if you want it to be read out. Anyway, enjoy the episode and follow us on the socials, the TikTok, the Instagram, the Twitter. Or is it the X now? Me na nua. But yeah, enjoy the episode. Is it recording?
Yeah.
We'll just cut it out.
But because this will get out something.
You know what? you're like, woo, jokes, in it? Just fucking with you. I was just fucking with you, right? Oh, listen, we got bear jokes, in it? I know you're listening, babes. I love you.
Happy
I love you.
You are now listening to the Three Shots of Tequila podcast with Marv Abbey, Mr. Exposed, and Taser fucking Black.
All right, cool. What's happening, people? Welcome to another episode of the Three Shots of Tequila podcast with myself, Marvin Abbey. Because they also got in the studio, but that intro...
Say Marvin Taser.
Yes, yeah, Marvin and Taser in the studio. We've got a very, very special guest, Nigel Royalty. Just have your name, brother.
Yo, it's Fields, also known as Tribe Leader, also known as African Rockstar, also known as Mr. Producer. You get me?
Do you know what it is?
In the building.
I didn't know you were a producer like that, you know?
Oh.
Because when your tune came out, I remember, I used to get the word wrong as well, by the way.
I was just going
to
go.
Everybody got the words wrong.
I thought, I used to be in a rave singing, happiness. If I broke my business.
Almost changed it to happiness while recording. Yeah, because it sounded like happiness to me, but in the context of the song, it just didn't work. So I just kept it out.
That was a banger, though.
Yeah,
appreciate big it. Tune
from the first line. You know,
So when people were saying happiness, did that annoy you?
No, it didn't. Because people said a lot of things. People said eye fitness. People said...
Those people are finished.
You understand? Like, people said a lot of things. But like, for me, I just understood that, you know, you can't really tame a viral record. If it's viral, it's for the people now. Like,
did you know I was going to do that? A record?
Nah, man. How would I know?
It's true. Bro, you know people do the fake confidence.
I'm not going to sit here. I mean, I knew it was a song I liked. I knew it was a banger because I made it.
Yeah.
But I posted that video with only 21 followers on TikTok, bro.
Oh, swear.
Swear, bro.
And then by the end
of... how would I have known that... do you understand?
The power of TikTok, bro.
So when did you know that, okay, cool, this is doing a mad thing right now?
Bro, literally 24 hours after, man.
Okay.
Because people just kept calling me like, yo, what did you just post? That shit is fire. Can I swear on this podcast?
Yeah.
That shit is fire, bro. What's going on? I'm like, I don't know. I just opened the TikTok account. I was just looking for content to post. So when I saw how good it was doing on TikTok, then I took it to Instagram and then I posted another follow-up video and it just kept going. And I hadn't even finished the song.
Okay.
The song was already a hit before I finished the record.
So what did you add? What did you add to it? Was it a snippet you put out?
Yeah, it was just the hook that I put out.
Oh.
Yeah, like I'd already recorded the verses and everything, but I didn't finish producing yet.
Oh.
To be fair, that hook is very catchy.
Bro,
very, it's very crazy. Catchy.
Every brunch, every party, when that comes
up. And over in the UK, and like, bro, it was...
Yeah, UK was mad. Yeah,
London was wild.
But I didn't know, I wasn't in Nigeria at that time, so I can imagine how it must have been over there.
Bro.
America as well, because Afrobeat in America is like, the new thing, not new thing, but it's not Nigerian, so it hit at the right time as well. It was just when it was dope still.
Man, I'm just grateful, man. Like life is a movie at this point. Life is such a movie, man.
Do you know what's mad? When I was reading up on some of your background, your dad was a pastor and you were in the church and you used to play chords, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when I listen to your music now, I can hear the chords.
Yeah.
So when I heard, for example, the Usher Ruin It,
Rip, rip.
your time with me. Yeah, you gave me all these memories that I regret.
It's like Ruin and the song with Burna Boy. What's it called? It's
Coming Home.
I didn't hear it before. So when I was reading up and I was looking and it was like, you used to play Cool and Shit, I was like, oh, that makes sense as in where it comes from. And your music's quite soulful.
Yeah.
It's even though it's upbeat feeling. And it's Afrobeat, yeah, and it's a bit R&B-ish, but it's there's a soulful element to it. And a lot fact of the church thing
fact
is that as well. So that's dope. So
I appreciate that, man. I mean, so, you can't separate me from like my background, you know. So yeah, church was a lot. Like I was a choir master at some point as well, like taking care of the choir and teaching the choir and all that. So the background is very like musical and like very church driven as well. So that seeps through my music all the time. Yeah, man.
What was it like? Because your Usher, the song that you have with Usher, the music video was shot all on an iPhone.
Yeah, I was shocked, bro. Because So I was sitting down and it was ready to shoot my scene. And I just saw someone moving the iPhone. I'm like, okay, are we rehearsing camera angles? Or so I just sat there and they're like, yo, we're shooting. I'm like, where's the camera? They're like, that's the camera.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Are we, is this play? This is an Usher video and we're using the iPhone to. But I saw the results and I'm like, nah. Wow. I'm like,
was it on a rig or something?
Yeah, it was on a rig with like hard drives connected to it and all that, but.
So that's what I'm saying. When they say it's an iPhone 15, it was.
No, it is.
No, but you've added.
No, the rig is just lighting, bro. Yeah. It's literally the iPhone 15.
So basically, with the whole camera stuff, the iPhone's got a mad camera, but you have to use a certain app to kind of unlock.
Yeah, I think it was the Black Magic Cam. App.
Yeah. So
Black Magic Cam.
Black Magic Cam is an app you can use, but I think the iPhone's 48 megapixel.
I think I.
Yeah, and then you can shoot RAW.
Okay. Yeah, you should D-log and all that. Yeah.
Oh, so that's why it needed the externals.
The hard drives.
So more time they just plug the SSD card on the rig and then maybe lighting and all of that
stuff.
Yeah,
and then stabilizers and, you know, the rig for the cameras. But yo, it was crazy, man. Shout out everybody that was. Shout out Dave Myers, man. That's a legend, man. But yeah.
How did the Usher work come about? Is it that he hit you up just to say, yo, because I know you're in demand in terms of your producing and so on.
Yeah. It was through C4 and LA Reid and Mac Byers. But LA Reid, I met with LA Reid in LA. And LA Reid in LA. I met with LA Reid in LA and he told me about the Usher album that they were working on. So I'm like, yo, get me to the studio. Let me, you know, see if I can whip up something. It got me into the studio and right there and there I made and I wrote Coming Home. That's the one with Burna Boy. But then the Ruin song I already had a year before because I already traveled to South Africa and I wrote that with my friend Manana. Shout out to my ex because she inspired that record with the breakfast that she served me.
What was the breakfast? I need to know.
That came out of nowhere. Shout out ex with the breakfast.
What was on this plate?
It was full buffet. Full serve yourself. Serve yourself plus BYOB breakfast, bro. Like, nah, bro.
Hey, it's Nigerian. You can't be Nigerian, you know. When they tell your story, sorry, man.
Food is a wonderful thing,
bro.
Telling you.
Man, crazy, bro.
She hasn't tried to hit you back up.
No, she hasn't.
That one's stubborn.
Does she know it's about?
I don't know if she knows. She'll probably see this video.
Yeah,
this podcast. But yeah, man, like, bro. After that, I was just the song was literally a text message that I was going to send to her, like the hook. Because the text message was going to read, congratulations. I already typed it. Congratulations, you ruined me for everybody. I hope you're happy. But I never sent it. So I was going to send, I just copied it. You know how you copy the text from that text message box on the iPhone? I just cut it and I pasted it on my notes and I just kept it. So when I was in South Africa, I was making the music with Manana and I just told him about the story and I showed him the line and I was like, bro, that's a song right there. I guess write that. So we wrote Ruin. I kept that for my album. But then when I saw how crazy Coming Home became when we finished it with Usher in Vegas, I told him I had this crazy record that I think would be perfect for the album. Yeah. And that's how I played Ruin. And
Now I can't lie to you, even when I was listening to him,
it was crazy.
Like when the song starts, you're like, it's just a chord and then it just hits.
Yeah, like you feel the emotions from the song.
When you say she ruined you, what did she do?
Ah, bro, have you ever met that girl who could just bust your balls, bro? Like, you know when you think someone is like the one?
Yeah.
And then it just ends up the messiest way like possible, man. And then you just, after that, you're just like, well, I'm taking a break, man. Like, no one else is allowed to enter for now. Like, it's closed for renovation. I'm not, you understand?
One,
so that's what I mean by like, for now, I'm just chilling and focusing on me.
Yeah, at least you got a tune out of it.
Yeah. At least it's with Usher, so I'm not complaining. You understand?
And you're building now, so the fan base is growing. What would it take for someone to take you out of renovation?
To be honest, I don't know. I don't know, to be honest. But I feel like for me, it's one of those
breakfast.
No, it's not breakfast. It's, I think I have to come out of my shell before that person shows up. I don't think that person can show up now because I'm not going to... I like saying the truth, especially when I'm on like a podcast or like interview. Like I love being myself and just sharing my story. So I really don't think for now anyone is allowed in, like until I'm ready to come out of my shell and mingle with mere mortals again.
Don't worry, we'll see on TMZ. We'll see you with one babes.
And the high you can't hide, you know, 6'5".
Yeah. I can't hide.
You're tall, bro. I didn't even know that.
I can't hide.
When you came in, I was like, hold on, like.
Yeah, I swear that was by design, man. I was made to be a star. Can't hide anywhere, bro.
So how are you enjoying the UK? Is this your first time here?
Oh no, this is like my, I can't even count at this point.
Even though, okay.
Bro, I've been in the UK a lot of times.
You like it or?
I like the UK, man. But the cold is just too much.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of people say that. It's just
and now it gets very windy as well. I don't understand it. Like, just, but apart from that, I love the UK.
But the summer here is good. If you stay, if you come here in summers, London, the UK, yeah, but I say London's got one of the best summers in the world in terms of enjoyment. There's always something to do.
That's the one thing. I have never experienced summer in
the UK. I swear.
Never.
You're missing it. So you only come in winter or autumn? Yeah. No wonder.
When it's colder. When it's just crazy.
Bro,
it's crazy.
Come in summer, you will enjoy it, I'm telling you.
Okay, I'll try.
Is it because you're busy?
I'm always somewhere else. I'm in America or I'm in the Caribbean. So I'm like, it's just, I've just never been in the UK during summertime.
I'm not going to lie. If you have to decide between Caribbean and America here,
you made the right choice still. But now London is good in the summer.
Yeah, I'll try and make it this year.
Especially when the weather's hot, people are out, brunches or day parties, or just even Shoreditch. When you just walk around certain areas, there's loads of people because the weather's hot. We don't get good weather.
Mm.
So when it's hot, everyone's
outside.
Everyone's out.
Crazy. I'll try this year though.
Yeah, for sure. Have you got a favorite part of London?
No, not yet. Everywhere just seems to be far from everywhere else.
Yeah.
And that annoys me because everybody says, oh, come to London. Oh, when you're in London, hit me up. And then I hit you up and you're like, oh, man, that's 2 hours away. Oh, man, that's 1 hour. That's 50. I'm like, why, bro?
It's true. Whenever people say, oh, where should I stay? I'm more returned with, what are you doing when you get here? What are you planning to do? So I can
help
you. But yes, everywhere's far, man.
Everywhere's far, man.
Whenever Americans stay, they always stay in West. Always. Always.
To be close to Central, no?
Close to like Selbridges and Harrods and all that. But I'm like, that's cool.
And it's expensive.
But it's expensive, but that's near. If you want to be in West or North West London, that's fine. If you want to come into East London or other areas, it's far.
Mm.
I think the best place to stay centrally would be like a Shoreditch. Because you can get to most places from Shoreditch quite, not quickly, but you get to South.
Yeah, I know what you mean,
It's not far. Northwest is not far, West London's not far, East is just there, and it's central. Like
sometimes I suggest like Paddington.
Ah, that's a myth.
How?
Paddington.
10 minutes, you're in central.
That's the only place that's near there. Nowhere else is near Paddington, bro. Nowhere else, bro. If a girl says to me, I'm in Paddington, all right, cool.
So, meet in Central?
No, but telling me to come to Paddington.
Oh, okay.
Not going there.
Central is fun, though. I feel like me, I stay in the East most of the time I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Docklands and like Canary Wharf.
That's the best. Central, and it looks nice as well.
Yeah, I feel like it has more space. The Airbnbs there are like bigger than in Central or Shoreditch.
Because they're newer as well.
Exactly. And I'm always moving with like my team and stuff. So, you know, I need space to set up all the setups.
Anybody you're listening to in the UK?
Not right now. Because I've not been listening to music. I've been making. I just finished the EP actually. Okay, so I've not been listening to music, but Dave, you know, Jay Huss, that new song with Portable. That new song with Portable is crazy. Yeah, Skepta and Portable. It's cold. I used to listen to a lot of Stormzy, but like I've just not gotten back on my Stormzy buzz in recent times. Because I used to rock with Stormzy back then when he did Fire in the Park, like the YouTube video.
Alright. State your name, cuz.
Stormzy, innit?
And what are we doing today?
Repping, innit?
Yeah?
Fucking repping, innit?
Yeah? Fire in the pot. Let's go.
Yo, look. Man, should I say he's better than me? Tell my man, shut up.
Shut up.
Mention my name in your tweets. Aruba, shut up.
Shut up.
How can you be better than me? Shut up.
Shut up.
Best in the scene. Tell my man,
shut
look,
up.
Come man, call me a backup dancer. On stage at the Brits, I'm a backup dancer. If that makes me a backup dancer, the man in your bids,
backup dancer.
The man in your picks,
backup dancer.
Man, wanna chat about backup dancer? Big man like me with a beard, I'm a big man, how the fuck can I backup? Comes everywhere I go. I can't run with my enemy show. Walk in the club with all of my tugs. Party's done, everybody go home. Apart from the girl, them
you don't say.
Walk in the club with a girl, say hey. Tell a man like I'm K to the A. There's no champagne, we don't break.
Yeah, I remember it was Olamide that showed me that video for the first time and it blew my mind.
Oh, six.
Swear, man. I remember I would be in the studio watching that video over and over and just gassing up, man. It's crazy.
That's the gram, kind of the gram.
Yeah.
He's actually making a return. He's dropping a single today. Stormzy. Thursday, yeah, with Heady One.
Oh, dope.
Oh, I saw that one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
so
fire.
He's making his return to music.
That's fire.
So where do you get your influences from for music? Is it something in you already? Or you know some artists, for example, they will listen to like what's current and maybe not still themes, but take inspiration from things that are current? Or are you one of those people that this is my style and my flavor? That's what I'm going to make? Or is it, as you said, is it something happens to you, like a heartbreak or something happens, you're like, you know what, what is it? Or is it dependent on the artist you're working with?
I think it's a little bit of everything that you mentioned, but ultimately I feel like every artist or every creative has a lens that you see life through.
Yeah.
And like, it's like source code that interprets life to you.
Yeah.
So like what I think my sound is, yes, there are sounds out there, but this is my own interpretation of it. This is how I see it through my lens.
Yeah.
So I guess what's inside is that lens that like I filter everything through. That's the feel sound. That's why like I might make the same genre, but it would never sound the same as it would sound if I make it, because my filter, my lens is involved. You understand? That's how I would, you know, describe it.
What's your process like in the studio? Like, do you need...
It's chaotic, man. I call it organized chaos. Because in here it's like I'm wearing multiple caps whenever I'm making music. So like I'm making the beats, I'm already thinking of the lyrics, I'm already thinking of okay, where it should go, how the bounce, how the cadence should be. I'm writing the lyrics, I'm already thinking of the drums and what I want to tweak. Sometimes I'm even thinking of the music video and how I want to direct it, or like it's just organized chaos in my head. But like at the end of the day, it gets to the finish line. That's the most important
thing. See, are you that involved in terms of like, so it's not only the beats you're making, it's not only the lyrics, you're actually now saying that you're directing your videos as well.
Yeah, I'm trying to direct my first video, but I'm always involved in all my videos. Like, okay. I'm always, like, moving things around. I'm always even telling the DOP to try these angles or try that angle. Like I'm just... It's just a whole exercise of creativity for me. You get
so,
me?
So, your first, the finesse video, did you direct, have a say in that?
Oh, well? Yeah. Yeah. It was me and Director K.
That was a good video still, remember?
Yeah, yeah. We killed that one. It was me and Director K. I remember we shot that in Lagos. And I remember telling them that I don't want any... Because I didn't want any dollar in the video. I wanted it to just be Naira.
Okay.
Because it was about spraying money. But I'm like, nah, I'm not an American artist. I'm a Nigerian artist. We have to shoot the Naira. You get me? So, like all those little details, the ATM. Remember the pushing the ATM on the, like, bro.
So, how important is that? Because I used to listen. I don't know what they call it now. Is it High Life? Like the Afrobeats before Afrobeats. Like the Afrobeats that my dad was probably listening to. You know, like Styles Plus, Olumentain. You know them songs there?
Yeah. Peace Square.
Downfall Driver. Yeah.
Downfall Driver. That's what I used to listen to. Marvelous Benji.
Sheena P.
You're talking about... Yeah, but we're talking about...
No, that one's another... That's another generation. Yeah, the generation he's saying is like...
Well, this is my dad. My dad was a Sheena P.
No, but I'm saying my dad's going to introduce me to these strings. Yeah, obviously that as well. Yeah. Must you know that, yeah.
I was like Star Plus...
Star Plus, Two Face, Plantation Boys.
Yeah. So, what would you call that era of music now? Is it still Afrobeats?
Bro, I'll call all era of music Afrobeats. So, like, me, I don't even see Afrobeats as a sound. I don't, I think it's just, I think collectively we have sat down, whether knowingly or unknowingly, and decided that this is what we are going to call this movement.
Yeah.
So I see it as a movement. I see it as a culture, not only a sound. Because I believe in the culture and in the movement, there are bare sounds. There are people doing totally different sounds. Mm. That's not necessarily the Afrobeats that the original Afrobeats that we know.
Yeah.
So I feel like with the inspiration of that original Afrobeats, we have created a tag that we should all belong to. You understand? So I don't see it as a sound. If you start seeing it as a sound, then it's confusing because a lot of people in Nigeria make different sounds.
Mm.
You get me? Like, you have Rema doing Afro Rave. You have CK doing, I think call it Afro Emo.
That's what I'm saying.
Burna Boy does Afro Fusion. So, like, it all stems from the Afro beat tree, whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
It's roots. It's culture. You get me? Like, as much as some of us might like to distance ourselves from the tag, depending on whatever reason we have, we can't still deny the fact that the root is from that root and the source is the source. You get me? So that's how me, I see it.
I was going to say that. I think that's what it is as well. I think people are trying to differentiate themselves. Like, they don't want to be the same way of hip hop. It might be like, no, I don't do hip hop. I do trap. Or, do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I think it's
drill.
I do drill. I do this. So like, a lot of people like, and also some people don't want to be associated with other people. Like, hip-hop wouldn't want to be associated with drillers, maybe. Like, Nas wouldn't want to be because the content...
It's different.
I don't like that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you can still categorize them under the umbrella hip-hop of hip-hop, under the tag of, hip-hop music.
So
the same way you have the tag of Afrobeat music.
Yeah.
And then under that, we can have Afrofusion, Afro-rave, Afro-this, Afro-soul, Afro-jazz, Afro... Yeah.
Back then, listening to the music, it did sound like they wanted to be American. What I like now is that... It's not there no more. It's
not
a Nigerian.
We're not saying anybody.
I like that now. Like, where everyone's it's like you're showing where I'm from. I want it to be more authentic.
I think there was a combination though.
I'm going based on what I used to see.
No, I hear you. But
LA, Lagos and all that.
No, but I think it was the dressing maybe sometimes. But
the jerseys and
but
stuff.
The sound still sounded like Afrobeat to me.
Yeah, I feel like black music in general is a collective effort.
Mm.
Like, and it has always been a collective effort all our lives. Like, like Fela, for example, was ultimately inspired by funk and jazz to create Afrobeats. Do you understand? Mm. And that is a collective effort of like the greats to now create this sound that we all like. So like, it's always a collective effort, home and away. You understand? Yeah. Like, our artists back then, like the Two Faces, the Banjis, I'm sure they were very inspired by the Black American scene as well and how like they're carried and how they carry themselves and the style and stuff. So like the music, the black music has always been a collective effort throughout the times. And it's nothing different now. It's the same.
Interesting that you said that because it just made me think it's true that because what happens is you're influenced by the music you hear, maybe your parents listen to or the music around you, but you're not inspired by the same things your parents were.
Mm.
Yeah.
So the way they dress, your mom and dad dress,
exactly.
We didn't dress like that. So I'm seeing these lot dress like that. So we're incorporating the music we hear, but changing it because of the influences around us and what we see.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next generation has done the same thing again. When you look at Afrobeat artists, now they dress very different to
the previous ones.
The gen above, because it's more individualistic.
Yeah.
Like, So there's more individualism, like, in terms of like the way they dress. Like even yourself, the way you've come in today, the pink hat, the jeans with like the pink, the tone to it, like it's, it's different. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
we had Charlie Poppy and he had like a different look. Do you know what I'm saying? Then we had Ray Vanny in before, different look. But they're all individuals. You can see the style. You can see that you pay attention to it. I think that's another thing with Afrobeat. I feel like there's attention to detail with style.
Yeah,
whereas with hip hop, it's a bit, everyone kind of look dressing the same. Amiri jeans, this, that, bands out the pocket, Amiri t-shirt. There isn't a difference. A few artists, with Afrobeat, most artists, they take pride in their presentation in terms of how they look and their style, which is...
So what's the... Like, you see, for example, in hip-hop,
yeah,
I guess how they kind of, like, let themselves be known in regards to, like, I'm doing my thing, I've got money, blah, blah, it's the chains, the watches, the cars that they drive and stuff like that. What is it like in Nigeria? What is the... Like, if you was to watch a music video and be like, okay, this artist is popping because he's got what?
Or how do you show wealth in general?
Yeah.
How do you show wealth in Nigeria?
No, as an artist, because as Taze was saying...
Well, how do I show wealth?
No, as an artist in general.
In general. Yeah. I feel like everybody has their own different...
But is there a general... See, like in, like for example, like I said, in hip hop, you can see it's a Cuban chain or it's a particular watch.
Big chain, or
I mean, is that not what we have all collectively agreed for, like wealth to look like? So I guess that's still what it is. It's still the chains. It's still
it's the same
jewelry. Still the cars.
No, but I think what he's saying is, in terms of, for example, in terms of Afrobeat, like in rap, if you've got a rapper that you listen to, he has to show you a certain type of lifestyle for us to buy into it. And be like, oh yeah,
to show legitimacy.
Yeah. With Afrobeat, you don't need that as such.
Nah.
Because, for example, Burna might have a big chain, but then you might see Rem and he hasn't. But you're not saying Rem is less of an artist than Burna.
Yeah. It's not really about materialism in Afrobeat. It's about groove and spirit, man. Get whatever you want to get as an artist, whatever car you want to get, that's your personalities. You understand? We will celebrate that with you, but that's not what we're looking at when we're like ranging success. Some people look at that, some fans compete with that and say, oh, my stan has more cars than your stan. And it's all banter, but like at the root of it all, it's just about the music and about the spirit, man.
I think that's one of the reasons why the music is going to transcend as well. It's just literally just about good vibes.
It's good energy, man. Like all in all, you can't deny the fact that Afrobeat music is good energy. You can't deny it. It's undeniable.
Do you think that would change though? In terms of like, like in any genre, like even hip hop, for example, hip hop was very happy at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It was very hip, the hip hop. And then there was this subgenre that went through, there was like the poverty and they wanted to tell their story.
Mm-hmm.
Then it became not dark, but it became a little bit more unhappy, a little bit more violent, a little bit more. Do you think that could happen with Afrobeat, that like the next gen might tell their story and like, I live like this? Because even if Afrobeat, the stories they tell, even if it's unhappy, it's still happy to a degree in terms of the beat.
In terms of the frequencies.
The frequency, Do you think that could change, that like it happened?
I mean, I think anything is possible, to be honest. Yeah. But I think it's up to us and it's up to the labels as well. Because even when hip-hop, quote-unquote, got dark, there were still some light in hip-hop. There were still some people doing, you know, high vibration music in hip-hop.
Yeah.
They just never got attention.
Yeah.
You get? And that's on, like, the industry and the labels and the A&Rs, to bring that to the spotlight. So like, it's a team effort if we want it to keep going this way. And if it goes another way, it's also a team effort. Like, we just have to keep the light shining, man. Yeah. And also, wherever I go, I always preach collaboration, man. Like, I feel like we are in a very, as a collective, we are in a very special time right now. Like, and I think it is not just the artist's responsibility, but everybody's responsibility to help save this light every little way you can. You get me? Because this music can literally change everything if we, you know, if we use it well. The world literally is paying attention to us right now. Literally. Like, through the board, they're looking at us right now.
Yeah.
And this is the time for the craziest collaborations. This is the time for the craziest tour collaborations as well. Like come together and like create a wave that just floods the whole world. I feel like now is the time. And that's what I always preach wherever I go. Man, like, that's the only way we can save this light and save it for the next generation. Because I feel like the responsibility we have was not the responsibility the Banjis and the Two Face and the Peace Quest had. Now we have a brighter light and it is on us to save it for the next generation.
Yeah.
You get me? So like, it's a big role to take on and we need to see it as that.
You know, as a creative, you said you're very hands-on with obviously your music and your music videos and stuff. Are you going to be the same with like going on tour and
production? I am the same. I do like 80% of my screen graphics myself. Even at the show in the show we just did 4 days ago, I did like 90% of the screen graphics.
Okay.
Yeah. And like arrange the music with my MD as well. Like I'm very,
very hands-on.
I'm very hands-on. I love it. I love the whole process of everything.
Yeah.
And that's dope as well because you'll be learning as well as you're going along.
Exactly.
What performing was? Do you take it back?
No. What's your routine? I love performing, you know. Me on the stage. Those who know. Me on the stage, I'm a different feels on stage. The first routine is jumping jacks though, backstage. Like 20 to 40 jumping jacks just to keep the blood pumping and the heart racing before you run on stage and do your rock star stage. But apart from that is, you know, water, jumping jacks, and then I'm good.
So what's on your rider?
Rider is the norms now. Like alcohol, shots of tequila.
Come on.
Yeah, Casamigos.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
But all that is for after performance, actually.
I don't
do that before performance.
You only
after performance,
stage,
then I'm out. I'm partying, I'm wilding out. But before, I want to be in 100% shape.
Jumping jacks,
like you take your craft seriously, man. I do, bro.
Like, remember, I'm from the church, like, background. Like, every Sunday was literally a concert. Yeah, you get me? Every Sunday service was literally a performance opportunity.
Nigerian church.
Every Sunday was a performance. So you had to be on your A game every Sunday. So I feel like that gave me a lot of training.
Yeah, you put
and a lot of rehearsals.
Down.
You get to like be a good performer.
Yeah.
You get me? So that really helped a lot.
That's good though. Because sometimes when you go to churches sometimes, the people on stage, sometimes they're not the best singers, man, but they just know someone. You've been to church before, you're just like...
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Person singing, man.
I know, it's probably the daughter of a deaconess or something.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And they're singing, in the day of the Lord. You're thinking, whoa.
I said, hand over the back to someone
else. But because there's a hierarchy, there's someone at the back that can sing better, but they're not allowing that person. Yeah.
It's church politics, man.
Come on, man.
It is what it is.
The times I've seen it, I'm like, oh, come on, man. But that's dope, though, because obviously you were good enough to do it. And
I mean, then again, I was the pastor's son, so that might be another leverage.
Going to ask the congregation, I'm about to say, you couldn't sing, I was there.
I was a genius from the jump, though. Like,
we could see.
If I do say so myself, I would say.
So, did you face? Is there any obstacles that you faced, and then how did you overcome it?
Well, there have been so many obstacles, man. Like, it's part of life. If I don't face obstacles, like, I won't be here. You get me? From my dad not wanting me to sing at all, only in church.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It started from that. Because remember, I'm the pastor's son. Why would the pastor's son be, making secular music?
Was that pressure for you, though? Because we spoke about this on a previous podcast, and we were saying that a lot of the times with churches, the sons or daughters of the pastors tended to have a period of time where you saw them start to misbehave because the pressure of having to always be the best child.
You have to be perfect.
Was a bit,
you have to be perfect. You have to, for me, I had that stage, but I was rebelling with the music. So growing up, I never used to express myself. Because, you know how you have like an African upbringing and they tell you have to be seen, not heard. You get me? So I never used to like yarn. You get me? Because I don't want to disrespect anybody or I don't want to. So I just, I'll show face and just be quiet. But then like art and the music was the best way I could
express yourself.
Express myself. That's why till today I still paint. Like, and even back then, I promised myself when I buy my first crib, no other person's art will be in that crib but mine. And I just did it like a few months ago.
This one is painting.
You get me? So like
art on the screen, singing,
making beats.
Man, but art is like a way from like 5 years old. Art has always been a way for me to express my feelings, even in school, bro. Like I would be so angry and I wouldn't do anything but just draw that anger out. Or write it in a poem or something like just.
Oh, so that's how you used to get your frustrations
out. Yeah, that's how I used to get my frustrations out. So like that transcended into the music as well with me writing. The reason why I actually started making beats was so I could make songs now. I convert my poems to songs. But I would write poems for my seniors in school for their girlfriends and stuff. Like, and they would give me money like 100 naira, 15 naira. I'll go and eat. And bro, like, it was a hustle, look.
I never understood that, you know. Like, are you reading someone else's work to your babes?
if there's a word you can't pronounce. That word on the fifth line.
Is there another version?
What is it? Is it and love the or laugh?
Some of those poems, were not even original because I would get... So there were these things they sell back then called lyric books where you would buy in Lagos and it's just lyrics of songs. So I would go and look for some of the lyrics of the songs that I know they don't know, but the most beautiful lyrics. Mm. And I'll just copy it and I'll just put my own twist to it and I'll sell it to them. Like
that's hustling the hustle.
Oh, man.
He used to like speak to girls, and he'd be reading a poem off his computer. And I'm hearing the girl be like, oh my God, that's so sweet. I'm like, oh.
Bro, I have friends that use ChatGPT to reply text messages. Now I just copy the text message, paste it, reply this, but sound very sweet and emotional. Enter, and ChatGPT just gives you the reply. Bro,
the world changed.
I have a friend that I've done. I'm
but
like,
I've got ChatGPT.
He did a whole conversation, and the girl was just... She was just happy. Thank you. You're so attentive. You're so like, bro, no, man. Oh, bro. Crazy, man.
It is so ChatGPT,
man, bro.
Why try that?
What? Nah, what would you prompt it?
Just give it the text, the first text message, and I say,
so you can type basically, this is the text I received from a girl.
Yeah, this is the text I received from a girl.
I want to reply, feel it, sound sweet. What do I reply?
Give the more information, the better. Like, we've been together for 4 years. Oh, we met there. Oh, this is where we're at the relationship. Like, just prompt engineering.
This is...
The future is going to be beautiful.
I'm scared, man. I'm scared. Because some things, like, I feel it should just come to you, however you feel.
Yeah.
But some, unfortunately, not everyone's expressive like that.
Yeah, true.
Some people are more expressive. Some people are less expressive. Some people are out there. You know what I'm saying? Everyone's different.
Yeah, man.
So about outside of music, are you into sports?
Man, I wish I was into sports, man.
Seriously?
I wish I was. I'm into a little bit of football, but that's it. Like, basketball wasn't a thing growing up.
Have you got a team?
No. I only support Nigeria. It used to be Man City, but then I just never kept up with...
Man City?
Oh, no, I've never heard that.
Like Manchester City.
No, I know it, but I've never heard a fan. I don't know nobody supports Man City.
Bro.
No. Because that's like the Manchester club that only people in Manchester support them.
Mm.
Manchester United, because of their success, everyone in different places supports Manchester United because whatever. But Man City, I'll be honest with you, I do not know why.
I like how Manchester City plays, but like that's the most soccer for me. Because sport wasn't really a thing, bro. Like I and Because growing up, again, it was very, it was like the triangle lifestyle. It was home, school, school, church, church, home. Like, was literally nothing else. Like, not even going to play soccer with friends or...
Okay.
It was nothing else. It was home, school, school, church, church, home. Maybe cyber cafes, because that was where I would get all my information and learn. You know, do you know cyber cafes?
Yeah. Like internet,
yeah. Yeah, internet, yeah. Yeah. You buy time and all that, yeah. Yeah, it was literally that. Like, the whole childhood. Yeah, so no sports. Man.
So when did you take... When did you say to yourself, I'm going to take music seriously? Was it after, was it before Finesse, or was it
way before, way I decided I was going to take music seriously since I was maybe like 7, 8. Like, I've made that decision since church, that nah, because I just loved how music could change emotions. Because mind you, I would be in the front of the church, I'll be behind the keys playing the keys, and I'll be looking at people like while they're praying, or while, you know, the pastor is preaching, or while the choir is singing. I'll study how this chord makes them feel, yeah, and how like it switches their emotions, and I will make some people cry or kneel or be happy. And I'm like, I really love this. Like, this is what I want to do with my life. You get me? So since I've had that decision,
it's funny you say that, because I throw parties.
Mm.
Sometimes I'm just standing in the corner, I'm just watching how people are responding to that. So we have a party called R&B and Slow Jams, and that's what we play pretty much the whole night.
Mm.
And just seeing the way people respond to certain songs that they probably haven't heard since they were like 18, 19. Yeah. And it's a nice feeling, man. It's
yeah, really it nice. Is, man.
Do you know what it is? It's because a lot of time with songs, it's nostalgia.
It takes you to a place.
It takes you back to...
Like, you have memories stored in those songs.
Yeah. So there might be a tune that reminds you of someone, or just a time. Do you know what I'm saying? So I think that's what it is as well. Yeah, with what you're saying, I've been in church, and then the pastor's talking, and then you just hear the...
Yeah,
and it just
me.
Makes what he's saying seem more impactful.
Exactly.
Or it adds suspense to it. Or, do you know what I'm saying? Like, even just the drums. There's something the pastor will say to the drummer or the keyboarder, lower.
Mm-hmm.
But then him lowering it just makes the
dynamics different.
Yeah, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they'll start singing, and then there'll just be the key, and then the drummer will come in, bah, 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 and it just...
What's the longest service you've been to?
Ah.
Yeah.
Long.
Because he knows.
It's long.
We've tried to be the F1 and the fans.
Throwback Nigerian
and
church.
We get to church late. We get there like 2 hours late. It's still another 4 or 5 hours.
And mind you, me, I'm a worker in the vineyard. So it's giving first service, second service, third service. Like, you know, when you have multiple services in one Sunday.
Fele.
Bro, it's a long go. Now, evening.
I think my mom and dad were... I think the first gen in my family to be able to say, this is too long. So for me, and there was no pressure on me to actually go to church, because you have to speak to my mom and dad first. Because I'm in the house. Whenever it's Sunday, I'm looking at the time, mom and dad's still in bed. So I'm like, I can't get ready. So my aunties and uncles are like, why didn't I see you at church last Sunday? I'm like, boy, you gotta speak to them.
Man, shout out to church, man. Like, I feel like we don't give church enough credit for like raising talents. Like, spirituality aside, just the talents that the church has groomed is immense, man. Like, it's crazy. Like, when you do your research, you see people that actually started from the church, like, musically. It's crazy.
And I think we don't give church enough credit for just helping shape people as well.
Yeah.
Because when you grow up in the church, it just gives you a level of like a conscience. And it just gives you like this morality.
Yeah, like the morality compass is very strong.
Yeah,
when you grew up
so
in church,
like, even if you didn't listen, you heard that something one day. Because obviously in church, when I was there as a kid, we would go to a thing called TNT, which is a youth church.
Mm.
So in the evening, Mumsy would go to the main church to say, I'll see you later. You run to the TNT, you meet your friends, whatever. But in the Sunday morning, in the actual service, you'll just hear something that just resonates with you 1 week. Do you know what I'm saying? And like, you can't go to church every week and it not do something to you. Just even just believing in God, or believing that there's a purpose for your life, or that you're special, or that, do you know what I'm saying? There's something there. And I think church doesn't really get enough credit for that. I think the problem with church is that because there are some bad churches, the bad churches outweigh the good in terms of people's mentality. So it's
and most times the bad churches have like
big
or the press.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. But man, shout out to church, man.
So are you still spiritual? Are you still
I'm still spiritual, but I'm no longer religious. I pray my dad doesn't see this. Because I feel like the more I grow,
yeah,
the more spiritual I become and the more I understand the church more. Like, now we're about to get into some deep shit. Fuck. Because I think a lot when I leave. I just sit down and sometimes I think, not even about music, but just about like life in general. And like, I go deep into purpose and all that whenever I think. So like, and because I've seen a lot of Christianity and like I've read the Bible as well, like I understand that spirituality is the best way to God. Like, some of religion is a lot of politics and power control in that sense and unconscious programming as well. And this like curiosity started from like me being a child, because I would read the messages of Jesus and I would look at the church and like all the churches. I'm like, are we sure we are preaching this? Are we sure it's the same? Are we sure this?
You know, you're saying that, yeah, and I'm feeling it because I've had this conversation with my mum. But you know, like when you want to express how you feel to an elder, they're looking at you like, are you sure you haven't been possessed? I'm like, bro, I'm just asking a question, man.
Told you, like one day I asked my. Asked the deacon church, very young. I remember very well. I asked the deacon church. I'm like, I see the God that the Bible describes, but is this Bible doctored? Because I said, the God sounds like a dictator, and I don't think God is a dictator. Like, why would he build hell? What is going through his mind? Like, why would you tell me you give me free will? You put me in a sandbox to play, you give me these choices. You give me the free will, but then you punish me if I take this, and you put me in everlasting rest if I take that. Mm. So where's the choice? Where's the free will, really?
Mm.
Get me, bro, they beat me, eh? Bro.
Take a turn, boy.
Bro.
Not even, listen, let me speak to you.
We are going to beat the devil out of you today.
You know, you don't have the answer. It's like... Bro.
And I was just curious. I was just looking for us, because it didn't make sense to me. I'm like, you say God is love. Is this the love? Like, this doesn't look like unconditional love to me. This looks like a lot of conditions. You get me? There's something up somewhere that we have to go and find out, because it's not...
But in hindsight, the only thing is, for example, if you've got kids or you've got... For example, if you've got kids, for example, and they do wrong, you want them to be free and do what they're doing, but at the same time, there's a consequence to what they do sometimes. So it might just be that.
Yeah, but I
in
do...
terms of that's the consequence. For example, that's what you're saying to your daughter. Behave yourself.
I see what you mean.
You can always come to dad whenever you need to do anything. Just you can say to your daughter, I don't mind whatever. Just talk to me. Just if you're gonna do anything, just tell me.
Mm.
And then there's one time where you've told her clearly, listen, I won't be mad. Just speak to me. But then one day she doesn't. And she does whatever she wants. Then you might say to her, see, I told you the one thing not to do was. So that
but,
might be
but
God
would
saying
you,
to
would
people.
You build a lake of fire of everlasting torture for your
daughter? No. You see me? I can't.
Are you saying you are more capable of love than God?
No. But
do you understand what I'm saying?
No, but the thing is, but you taking your daughter's iPad, that's her version of, oh my God, my world's crumbling.
Exactly. So no, what me I think is like, so I don't think hell is lake of fire burning for eternity. Like, I think hell is a reality.
No Wi-Fi down there.
Yeah, do you understand?
No data.
No data, no water, nothing. I don't know, people might come after me for like saying this on this podcast. This is why I don't like going to podcast.
I think it's one of those things where I feel like our generation is a generation where we ask questions.
We're asking many
our
questions.
Our parents' generation was more the generation that this is what we've been given.
Keep quiet. And
we don't ask questions.
Mm.
If you believe in this, we don't ask questions. This is a man of God. He's telling us what it is.
Believe
this is the Bible.
In him, yeah.
We believe
touching on my prophets.
If you now say, excuse me, it shows you don't believe or it's blasphemy or whatever. Whereas we're the generation that we're like, wait, hold up a minute. That don't sound right. Can we elaborate on that? And the generation above is like, are you... So there's that disconnect where we got kind of, not beat, but we got punished for asking questions. So that kind of built, and not a wall, but with some people not believing as much anymore because they're like, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious because religion is controlling what you sort of do. You're not asking questions. Where spirituality is me knowing God, praying and understanding my relationship with him. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's a difference. So I think maybe that's the difference in the generations.
Yeah, man. I think this is a generation of minds that would wake up or that are waking up to like the fuckery in, and I'm not even saying like religion, it's just
the world in general.
The programming of the world. Like, I believe this world has been, we've gone through some serious programming that some powers that be have programmed, and like this generation is going to wake up to that and question that as well. So like, this is a generation where we're questioning everything. And like, sometimes some of it is logic, like, but let's not go there. Let's just...
No, like I said, I feel like we're here. I'm sitting there thinking...
Bro, I swear, bro. Like,
no, you just look at something like, this doesn't make sense. Don't do that.
Don't let it rope you in, you know. This guy's never gone to church. This guy, he's using an excuse. Because he never gone to church. He's like, yeah, we're on the same page. No.
But we're not just talking about church.
Never gone to church.
We're not just talking about church, bro. We're just talking about life in general.
No, we're just talking about life in general.
Listen, every time you mention church, your brother winks, you know.
What?
Look, he's there. What? You're talking about, when I attended church, he's there like, wait, which part?
I used to go to church. You know, like, when we used to go to church?
Sure. I'm just saying.
So we didn't go to KCC?
I'm just saying, every time you mentioned church, he looked up like, what are you about to lie about again?
What? Don't be trying to cause feuds, bruv. Do you know what I'm saying? Past the new man by name, bruv. That's how much I used to go still.
Say that.
But yeah, we're not like, I'm not against churches. I'm not at all. I just believe it's a way. That's what I believe.
Do you know what I think? I think church is cool, but the problem with church is, or some churches, is because church sells hope to people. There's some churches that take advantage of that hope.
Mm.
So I think that's the problem, that unfortunately you see it and you're like, so there are good churches, but as you said, anything in life, on a YouTube or on a video, you can have 100 good comments. When there's 2 bad comments,
your mind, you're thinking, oh my God.
But why are we concentrating on 2 bad comments? You've got 100 good ones. But in life in general, you always, unfortunately, gravitate or concentrate on the bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with the bad churches, there could be 100 good churches, but there might be 2 prominent bad ones. That's everyone's reference now for why they don't want to go to church or why they don't believe in certain things. So I think there is that mixed in with, obviously, men of God doing the wrong thing, or some men of God say doing the wrong thing. So it's just, it skews everything. But at the end of the day, everyone's journey with God is different. Everyone's on their own path.
So every soul, their own path, man. That's what
I got a few, it's like icebreaker questions, and then you've got the this and that before we wrap up. Yeah. So I'll just ask like 1 or 2, nothing too deep. You're on a flight from one place to another.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fire in the back of the plane, and you have enough time to make one phone call. Who do you call and what do you tell them?
That's a sick question.
Oh, that's a weird question. It'll be my senior brother, my immediate senior brother. I'll call him and I'll say, you're my next of kin. Have fun. I'm out.
Hey.
Have fun. I'm out. Because we're high up, 30,000 feet.
Yeah.
There's a fire at the banana. That's what I'm saying. Next of kin. I'm out.
Do you have a...
I sort everything else.
Do you have a female best friend?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So she calls you and says to you, she has feelings for you and she wants more than a friendship. What do you do or say?
What's going on here?
What kind of question?
The view shared, the taser black.
But it says icebreaker
I hear you,
bro.
But If man said he's actually got a female friend and potentially she could be listening, why are we going to ask this question?
Because she's not going to ask him that question, is she?
When she wants to ask, you can ask. Next question. Don't worry, I'll do that one for you. Next question, man. Trying to kill my man's over there, bro. Come on, man.
Thank you very much.
Don't worry, I've got you, man. What's going on here? He's not going to laugh, you know?
I'm reading the questions, bro.
You're scared away guests, bro.
Nah, man, I'm not scared away
guests. Asking my question. The first time we said, all right, cool. That one's mad, but
wait.
That one off.
Okay, cool. What's more important to you? Your character or your reputation?
Ooh, my character. My character is more important.
It's a sick question still.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a very sick question.
That's a better one still.
Yeah.
All right. Last one. Ooh, this one's a bit deep. What's more difficult for you? Looking into someone's eyes when you're telling someone how you feel, or looking into someone's eyes when they're telling you how they feel?
Both. Looking into someone's eyes, period. Like, it's a thing that, remember I said I wouldn't express myself as a child. So it's a thing that I never really did as a child. So like, it's a thing that I'm still learning to do now.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have to consciously, even while we're sitting here, I have to consciously tell myself to like, look, like, and talk. You get, so both I think is still, but I feel like the most difficult out of both of them would be when I'm saying how I feel.
Mm.
Yeah. Because that one, I just want to look away and just yam my yams. Or maybe even wear glasses. Maybe that's why I even wear glasses most of the time. Like,
Me, I would love to be able to wear glasses. After a while, it's just...
Yeah, it jars me, man.
Yeah.
It's too dark. Yeah. When you're in a club or something, you can't see nothing. Someone say, what's going on? You're like...
I don't know how the old guys do it, man.
Then eventually you take it off and then you might lose them because they're not on your head.
Yeah, it's just
that's happened to
me so many times, man.
All right, so I've closed the notes.
Ah,
so
thank you.
The rest of
those questions.
Do you know what I don't like about that whole looking in people's eyes? I've had that before because I feel like it can be creepy sometimes. Because when you're talking to someone, you're just looking in their eyes.
There's a thin line. There's a thin line, bro. To like too much or just enough. It's a very thin line.
Because I can't remember where I was and I was talking to someone. I was somewhere the other day, and then one of the people from where I was on the train and I met him again. I'm like, oh, what's going on, bro? The way he was looking in my eyes, bro, I said, what's wrong with this guy, man? Like, he was uncomfortable, bro. Like literally, because I was sitting down here and he was standing up by the door. So he's like, how did you find it? I said, it was good. Yeah, it was good. Like, so what did you like about it? Like, I'm like, so I'm looking at him, but it's like, I'm kind of saying, in my mind, I'm like, bro, take a step back, man. It's too close.
I said, take a touch, man.
But that's me. But there's some people that they believe, you know, that same people that like, you got to give a firm handshake.
Mm, yeah.
You have to look at people in the eye. Some people, when it comes to business, they're like, if you're not looking at someone in their eye, there's no respect, or you're not a man, or you got to like, it's like, all right, bro, cool. Hey. Not for me still.
I hear you though. Sometimes looking in someone's eyes, it can be a bit too intense.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't know them like that.
Yeah. And also the context of the conversation.
Yeah.
Depending on what type of conversation you're having as well.
Fact.
All right, so I'm going to ask you some this or that questions. And you just got to reply your first answer in your head. Like,
okay.
All right, cool. Love or money?
Love.
Weekend in with the missus or weekend out with the boys?
Weekend in.
KFC or McDonald's?
KFC.
Nyash or breast?
Ah, Nyash.
Body or face?
Face.
Material things or experiences?
Experiences.
Supermalt or ginger beer?
Ginger beer.
Plantain or plantain?
Plantain for life.
Doo-doo. Data or data?
Data.
Mercedes or BMW?
Mercedes.
Professor X or Magneto?
Professor X, for sure.
Medium rare or medium well?
Suya well.
Read a book or watch a movie?
Read a book.
Tea or coffee?
Tea.
LV or Gucci?
LV.
Lemon and herb or hot? That's Nando's.
Lemon and herb.
Ja Rule or 50 Cent?
50 Cent.
500. Oh, no. Sorry. 500,000 in cash or no bills to pay ever again?
No bills to pay ever again.
Never be stuck in traffic again, or never get a cold or flu again.
Never get a cold or flu again.
Well, I thought it would be because of Nigeria. I thought it'd be traffic. Because the traffic over there is ridiculous, bro.
It's the lifestyle. It's part of what makes us us.
Young, rich and dumb, or old, poor and wise?
That's a very tough one. Young, rich and dumb.
Name three things people don't know about you.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I guess I'll say I'm 6'5", because a lot of people don't know that. So yeah, I'm 6'5". Yeah. I write poetry. A lot of people don't know that. Write poetry, I paint. And I think that's about it.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. And I love reading.
Okay,
so yeah. I love reading books, yeah. I read a lot.
Can you recommend a book for our listeners?
Or two?
There's a book I'm reading right now that I've read before for like readings again. It's called Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh. Yeah, that's, check it out. Like, that book, I think that book literally saved my life at some point. Serious? Yeah. And it has nothing to do like religion or like, not even God or Jesus necessarily. It's just like conversation with self from self. Like it's a beautiful book. I have it in my bag right here.
Right, but
yeah.
Right, did you order me cab?
She's outside.
Okay.
Before we let you go, yeah, I was gonna say, how many ladies are you planning to get low to make go low this summer? Hey.
Go low, low, low.
it's the new single. Relax.
How did we get here?
I knew, but I was just thinking, how did you do
did
that?
See, Taser's asked, before you came in, he's asking some crazy questions. Bro,
I swear.
Don't do that.
I had to save him one time.
You had the show already. You had the show recently?
Like four days ago? Yeah, it was crazy, man.
Yeah.
It was good energy.
Do you ever feel like, when you go to perform, right? Do you ever feel, what's the moment you realize like you're doing what you love doing?
The first moment or the just moment in on stage?
Yeah,
or in
on
general?
Stage. Like, what's the part where you're like, this is real. This is what I've kind of prayed for. This is what I've grown into. This is who I am.
It's when the fans sing back to me, like, especially when, like, because 4 days ago I was just, because I like taking it in.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can get in your head and just think of what's next. You forget to actually take in moments.
And live in the moment, yeah.
So I feel like on stage, I like staying present and just seeing people's reaction. Like, and if it's just one person, that's enough for me. Like, there's always that one person that you just mean the world to.
And
that just humbles me, because I'm like,
absolutely,
who am I? Like, I mean this much to you. Like, it's crazy. Like, I've had someone like literally cry when I was performing Stand By You, and I'm like, this means a lot to you, like this much. Like, it humbles me a lot. So those are some of my, you know, best moments on stage.
Oh, man.
For sure.
Well, thanks for coming through. We appreciate that, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Yes.
And also, you got an EP coming. So where can people find it? Where can people find you?
Yeah, the EP drops next month. Actually, it's called Feels Good 2. On Instagram, it's at Feels Good. That's PHEELZGOOD. On TikTok, it's just Feels. On Twitter, it's just Feels. On Snapchat, it's Feels Beats. Because I'm doing something on Snapchat called ReTV, where I'm doing like a TV channel on my Snapchat, and I just take the fans through my day, like every day.
Why did you spell it like that?
R-I-I.
No, Feels.
Oh, Feels. P-H-E-E-L-Z. Yeah. That's my chemistry teacher, you know. So my chemistry teacher would call me Phil, because my name is Philip, and I was one of his favorite students. So he would call me Phil. And like, that was how Phil started. Then when I met Olamide in Kodetsu, it was like, Phil is too ordinary, man. Just add a C at the end of it and, you know, spice it up. Call it Phils.
Also, it helps with the SEO.
And also it helps with the SEO.
If you type Phil,
he's probably another 10.
Okay, all right. Love coming from my bro.
Cool, man. Thank
appreciate
you, man.
Thank you guys for having me.
You are now listening to the Three Shots of Tequila podcast with Marv Abbey, Mr. Exposed, and Taser Black.